Hi, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the new iHeartMedia and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Like us on Facebook, tell your friends, and share us with everyone. This is an exciting new network that will feature podcasts of the paranormal, supernatural, and the unexplained. Now please sit back and enjoy Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For almost 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death. And so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. I have learned the hard way that there is an easy way to lose people you care about in your life. Talk about politics or talk about religion. People definitely have their opinions on both. And sometimes when you voice your opinion, people can change the way they think about you. I grew up Catholic and was told what to believe and even spent 8 years of my life going to Catholic school. When I left home and grew a little older, I eventually started questioning my religion, realizing that a great number of people believe in other things. When I started my journey looking for evidence of the afterlife, I did study major world religions, and I was so grateful to find out that all religions believe in some kind of an afterlife. Even atheists and agnostics, while many don't believe in God, they do believe in something, some thread of life, of energy that seems to run through everything, including the never-ending universe. In fact, not to offend readers of my book, We Don't Die, I included a whole chapter about religion so people of any faith could feel comfortable reading the book, knowing they are not going against their religion reading a book on the afterlife. I've met many biblical scholars that believe in the afterlife and believe that it's okay to communicate with our own loved ones through talking with them directly or by consulting a medium. They speak of the Bible being changed many, many times by rulers of the day, creating fear-based religion instead of embracing an all-loving God. For myself, I don't belong to any set religion. I belong to the Church of Sandra, meaning that I'm 54 years old and 25 years of investigation into life after death and investigating many of the top religions. I take what I like. I take what works for my belief systems and my values. Those that embrace the afterlife, being of service to others, living a meaningful life, looking for good in others, loving the heck out of people, and taking every experience as growth for my soul. But the journey hasn't been pretty. If you've heard my earlier episodes, I strongly state, don't push your beliefs on others. One day, I was so excited to share my research that when an old friend asked, "What's new?" I thought I'd share the world of the afterlife, according to Sandra. The look on her face was awful. Not knowing she was now a devout born-again Christian, she quickly grabbed my hands, put her head down, and started to pray for me, including to take the demons from my soul. Wow. I even have a family member heavily involved with a church that doesn't agree with my passion for helping people through grief by sharing what I've discovered about the afterlife. Sorry to say, we haven't had a relationship in many years, and honestly, it hurts. Yet I know in my heart of hearts, I've helped others believe, and that's helped mend broken hearts, comfort people, and it's helped put their life in perspective. Even avoided many suicides. This episode, I'd like to share with you a conversation I had with the pastor John Burke, who is the New York Times bestselling author of Imagine Heaven. Pastor Burke says an estimated 1 out of every 25 Americans has had a near-death experience, and he has personally studied over 1,000 of them. In our talk, John shares his journey in becoming interested in life after death, And comparing what people see in near-death experiences to what Bible scripture says about heaven. John is the lead pastor of Gateway Church in Austin, Texas, which he and his wife Kathy founded in 1998. Whether or not you believe in God, Jesus, religion, I ask that you listen and see what resonates with the church of you. My intent really is to share an extraordinary conversation and for you to feel that believing in the afterlife is not wrong. John, how did you get started in all this, the interest of the afterlife, which led to your book, Imagine Heaven? How did it all begin?
Actually, Imagine Heaven started 35 years ago, and it's kind of interesting because it actually began with my dad's death. My dad was dying of cancer, and I was a skeptic. Had a little church background, just enough to inoculate me and make me say, I don't know if I believe this stuff. I ended up studying engineering, becoming an engineer. So I have a very analytical mind. I like to know why. I'm always questioning, and I had a lot of questions, and it didn't seem like anybody could really answer my questions or wanted to. So I was skeptical about God, about Jesus, the whole deal. And my dad is dying of cancer. And I saw a book on his nightstand called Life After Life. It was the first book that coined the term near-death experience.
Yeah, by Raymond Moody.
Yeah, and I picked it up and I read it in one sitting that night. And at the end of it, I said, oh my gosh, Jesus, you're real. That was what I said. And because so many people had in the book talked about when they died, when their heart stopped or their brainwaves ceased, and yet they came alive like they had never come alive before. And so many of them saw this brilliant man of light. Many of them knew to be Jesus. Others, didn't know but knew God. And it was enough to kind of shake my skepticism to go, I need to find out more.
Yes.
And so, that really started me on a spiritual search. And as you said, I mean, it's been years now, it's been 35 years, and that led me from engineering actually into ministry, and Kathy, my wife, and I started a church really for skeptics and doubters like me.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, Gateway Church was created for people like me, and it is funny because as we were talking about a little bit before the broadcast, I'm a musician and an engineer, this weird mix, but that is Austin. Austin is the live music capital of the world, and it's full of high-tech engineers. So our church is, for people like me who have questions and doubts and struggles, but are open-minded and willing to seek.
I love that.
Yeah. So Imagine Heaven actually started, 35 years ago when I began this spiritual journey. And since then, I've read or studied or interviewed about 1,000 near-death experiences. And at the same time, I've been to seminary and I've studied the Bible in depth and taught it. And I decided to try to bring the two together and take, what I started to see is these 1,000 stories are actually showing us, they're giving our imagination a way to picture what I think the Bible's promised all along. Most people I find have a horrible view of heaven. I mean, like sitting around on clouds, listening to harp music and, wish you brought a magazine. And I did too. And what I've found is, no, it is life, and it's life like we've always meant for it to be. And so seeing all these, I decided to write about it. And it just so happened that I finished the manuscript as my mom was dying. So kind of two strange bookends. And my mom had been through Alzheimer's and she couldn't even feed herself. We had to feed her, and wow, she hadn't recognized us in a couple of years. And she was dying. She was in the hospital, and my sister and I took turns, being with her. And while we did, I read the manuscript to my mom and to my sister. And at the end, my sister said, I want to go with her. And I said, no, you can't, because God's got a purpose for you here still. But it was such a beautiful thing because, you know, as we'll talk about, when you die, you come alive. And many times the person is still there in the room. And that's how so many skeptical doctors and other skeptics have been convinced. It's what convinced me that this is real and there really is life after death. And so we waited and we were there. When my mom breathed her last and my sister and I were hugging each other and we were blessing her because we knew in that moment, you know, we hadn't really been able to talk for years. And yet we knew in that moment, you know, she would be there more alive than ever before and hear us just blessing her for, you know, she was a single mom to us for many years and just, you know, wanted to tell her how grateful we were. So it was kind of an amazing bookend of my father's death and my mom's death. And actually I like to say their graduation.
Yeah, and you know what I'm hearing in this? I mean, I witnessed my dad passing away with cancer and it was just brutal. And just hearing once you've had the belief and you read the manuscript to your mom and your sister, it just sounds like it was a whole different kind of experience. Just knowing, I mean, it's sad. We miss the person, miss the body, but just knowing where she's going and that she's fine.
You can't take away grief, you know. We have to go through grief because, you know, there is something wrong in this world. You know, we feel it. We know there's something missing and to be separated, even if for a short amount of time from our loved ones, it does cause grief. And you can't get around that. But there's hope. There can be hope in that grief because you know, as I'm trying to show in Imagine Heaven, this life is not the end. It's the beginning. It's the introduction to the first chapter of the real life that we were intended to live. And that's what people consistently say when they clinically die and yet are resuscitated. You know, what I've tried to do is look at the commonalities that you see across the 1,000 near-death experiences I studied in different cultures, different age groups. And it's amazingly consistent and it's amazing the way it lines up, like I said, with what I have found the Bible has been teaching all along, but people don't take the time to really study it or really try to imagine it.
We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll hear more from Pastor John Burke. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Shades of the Afterlife coming right up.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? It's easy for people to ignore their social batteries and spread themselves thin, especially at this time of year, when gatherings are picking up again after the winter. But it's important to find the right amount of socializing for you and still give yourself the time to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And when you're feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to take care of yourself and recharge. Because a full battery is the key to a full life. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/shades today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/shades.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint.
Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey folks, we need your music. Hey, it's producer Tom at Coast to Coast AM, and every first Sunday of the month, we play music from emerging artists just like you. If you're a musician or a singer and have recorded music you'd like to submit, it's very easy. Just go to coasttocoastam.com, click the Emerging Artist banner in the carousel, follow the instructions, and we just might play your music on the air. Go now to coasttocoastam.com to send us your recording. That's coasttocoastam.com. Hey, it's producer Tom of Coast to Coast AM, and you're listening to Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain on the new iHeartMedia and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Don't forget, you can listen to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we are with Pastor John Burke, who has researched over 1,000 near-death experiences and is comparing the heaven from the near-death experience to the heaven in the Bible. And what would it be like if we lived life really believing in heaven?
We don't really live this life to the fullest because we don't realize there's really nothing, we don't need to fear. We don't need to be anxious and we don't need to worry so much, you know. It gives you a bigger perspective.
I totally agree, John. When we don't have a fear of death, we don't have to have a fear of life. We won't be upset by failures. We can go after our dreams. We can love more fully. We can express ourselves. There's a whole different world. But I wanted to ask you, what are these similarities that you found by studying these 1,000 near-death experiences?
I only included 100, but but what I was trying to do is when you see and hear through the 100 or so people that I put in the book and I let you hear through their words, what you begin to see is this panoramic picture of what heaven is going to be like. And by the end, you feel a little bit like you've been there. The first commonality is that people come alive, like I said. So I write in chapter 2 of Imagine Heaven about skeptical doctors in the afterlife. And like I said, what convinced so many skeptical doctors is that when people die, they say they actually left their bodies, but they were still themselves and they were there present in the room actually watching the resuscitation events.
Yes.
So like one cardiologist, Dr. Michael Sabum, who I interviewed, he said that he didn't believe he didn't think there was anything such as a near-death experience. He said, but then he asked one of his patients, Pete, if anything happened during his cardiac arrest. And he said, Pete told me he had left his body during this first cardiac arrest and had watched the resuscitation. Sabum said, when I asked him to tell me what exactly he saw, he described the resuscitation with such detail and accuracy, I could have later used it to the tape to teach physicians.
Wow.
And he talks about how he began to interview more and more. And he said these people like Pete Morton, saw details of the resuscitation they could not otherwise have seen. One patient noticed the physician who failed to wear scuffs over his white shoes during open heart surgery. He said, in many cases, I was able to go back and confirm the patient's testimony with the medical records and the hospital staff. And we see this again and again. Dr. Pim van Lommel in Holland actually published. Oh, and Sabum published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. So he published his findings. Dr. Pim van Lommel reads about them in Holland, and he starts asking some of his patients. And one that he talks about was published in The Lancet, which is kind of the premier journal of medicine in Europe, where a guy came into the hospital and he had been unconscious. He wasn't breathing. His heart had stopped. And so they start CPR, and the nurse noticed that he had dentures. And so they took his dentures out before ventilating him and put it in the lower drawer of the crash cart. His heart started beating, but he never became conscious in the ER. They moved him out of the room, and he was unconscious for a week in this other room. When he comes to, he recognizes the nurse and says, "That's the nurse who knows where my dentures are. That's the nurse that put my dentures in the lower drawer of the crash cart."
Wow.
Because they couldn't find his dentures. And so these stories are actually very common, that when people die, we leave our bodies, but we feel more alive than we've ever felt before. Not just with five senses, but they talk about how it's more like you have 50 senses. It's like you are super alive. Like, and one of the other commonalities is people don't want to come back. Because this life ends up feeling more like the shadow, and that feels like the concrete, real existence we were intended for.
Yes.
Now, I talk about how I believe in the Bible, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote a good chunk of the New Testament, he actually was a skeptic as well, and was arresting Christians and throwing them in prison. You know, he was a Jewish rabbi. And But at one point, well, he has this encounter with this brilliant man of light, who that's another commonality of these near-death experiences. And that turns him around, you know, this encounter with Jesus, it turns him around. And, you know, he goes around, you know, starting churches across the Mediterranean. Well, at one point, a crowd turns on him and they stone him to death. And it says they stoned Paul and dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back into the town. And I actually believe Paul had a near-death experience. I mean, he was dead enough to drag him out and leave him for dead. And then he gets back up and runs back in. Now, personally, I wouldn't go back into the town that just stoned me. but he does. And then he later, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:2, talking about himself, he says, "I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. But I know I was caught up into paradise and heard things so astounding that cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell." And I think he's talking about how what people who have had near-death experiences say, that like they still had a body. So he didn't know if he was in his body or out of body because he felt alive. And that is one of the commonalities. Another one is that we see each other. We're ourselves. We recognize each other. There's this incredible reunion, this welcoming committee many times there to greet us and welcome us. And there are most commonly our friends and our relatives, those who have gone on before us.
That's so happy to have that visual.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, I like to say it like this, you know. I think it's ironic that I find people fear heaven and fear God many times, as in a just want to push him away, because somehow they think he wants to take love and take relationship from us, and yet nothing could be further from the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, God created us for love first with himself. I mean, that's what Jesus taught, that if you love God with all you've got and then love people, that sums up all the commands of the Bible. It sums it all up right there. And so to think that heaven, where things are finally where God's will is done, you know, Jesus taught us to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And he taught us to pray that because his will is not always done on earth, but it is in heaven. So to think that where God's will is done, we would somehow be less alive, less ourselves, less loving, less relational, doesn't make any sense. And yet I find that's the common view people have. But what near-death experiences teach us is that, no, it's a big reunion. It's a huge celebration.
That you know, is like, so great.
Yeah. And I mean, Jesus said this. He said this to his closest friends the night before his crucifixion. He said, look, don't be troubled. He said, there's more than enough room in my Father's home, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I'll come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And he talked about how we're going to drink wine and we're going to eat and we're going to celebrate. It's going to be this party. And I mean, how many people really think about heaven as a party?
Not too many.
Not too many, right? I mean, most people think of heaven as an extended eternal church service.
Yes.
You know, that sounds bad to me, and I'm a pastor.
Right. So,
you know, that's not it. It's going to be life. Jesus said it's going to be abundant life. And I think that's the hope that we have, really, is we were meant to be together. We were meant to love God, and we were meant to love others. And,
yes.
And that's really what heaven is all about. But it's not less life, and it's not going to be boring.
No, I don't think so. And what you mentioned about people you've interviewed, I've spoken with many people who've had a near-death experience, and they say there are no words to fully describe their experience. There's this feeling of intense, wonderful, unconditional love.
Well, exactly. And that's what I was trying to do in Imagine Heaven, because I had read and studied all these stories and what the scripture says. And I felt like people don't have this view. And until you hear it, you know, if you've interviewed enough, you've heard them struggling for words. You know, like they'll yes. say, I mean, there was time, but I don't know if it lasted eternity or a second,
right?
And that's exactly what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9. He said, to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. They talk about colors and this light that is beyond the spectrum of light that we have here on earth. Colors that just mesmerize them, way beyond our color spectrum, and light that is palpable. Light that conveys love and light that conveys life. And here's what I find fascinating. So I interviewed three blind people that I put in Imagine Heaven.
Wow. Okay.
And blind people, when they have a cardiac arrest, when they die, they can see. And they're trying to describe the same thing. But listen to this. So Vicky is one a blind person. She had a bad car accident, flatlined, and she was watching the doctors working on her and thought to herself, is that my body down there? Am I dead or what? She was trying to figure it out because she had never seen, you know, and she was trying to differentiate what she had felt and known, because that's how she had known things, from this perception she was getting. And she kept trying to get their attention, and of course she couldn't. And they were afraid she was going to lose her hearing. And finally she said, I thought, I'm out of here. I can't get these people to listen to me. And as soon as she thought that, she said, I went up through the ceiling as if it was nothing. And it was wonderful to be out there and to be free and not worry about bumping into anything. And she said, I knew where I was going. She finds herself going up through this dark enclosure, she said, like a tube. And it's interesting because another blind guy didn't He said all of a sudden there was color and then there was no color. He said, I wondered if that was darkness. So going up through this passageway or this tube or tunnel or pathway, people describe it differently.
We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
The best afterlife information you can get
while you're alive.
Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
The internet is an extraordinary resource that links our children to a world of information, experiences, and ideas. It can also expose them to risk. Teach your children the basic safety rules of the virtual world. Our children are everything. Do everything for them.
Hi, this is George Norrie, and you're listening to Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain on the new iHeart and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And don't forget, you can listen to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we're with Pastor John Burke as he's describing entering into a near-death experience.
So going up through this passageway or this tube or tunnel or pathway, people describe it differently. I talk about an imagined heaven. Maybe this is like a wormhole from our dimensional space into God's multidimensional space. I don't know.
Right.
And so Vicky comes out into this place of tremendous light. Vicky said the light was something you could feel as well as see. And even the people she saw were bursting with light. She said everybody there was made of light, and I was made of light. And what the light conveyed was love. There was love everywhere. It was like love came out of the grass. Love came out of the birds. Love came out of the trees. It was incredible, really beautiful. And I was overwhelmed by that experience, because I couldn't really imagine what light was like. It's still a very emotional thing when I talk about it, she sure says. And then what's amazing is Vicky and other blind people describe light coming out of things in heaven. Now, where would they ever get that idea? Because light shines on things.
Yes.
We don't talk about light coming out of things and light conveying love and life. And yet I interview a doctor, Dr. Mary Neal, a spine surgeon, a pastor, a TWA airline pilot, a bank president, who are all saying the same thing, that in heaven, light comes out of everything and it's palpable. It has life and love in it. Now, here's the fascinating thing. That's exactly what John says in the book of Revelation. It's also what Isaiah says in the Old Testament, that in heaven, there is no sun or moon because the light, the glory or light of God is the light of heaven, and people will walk in that light. And here's another fascinating thing. Daniel, another Old Testament prophet in Daniel 12:2, says the dead will rise up, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting disgrace, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever.
That's beautiful.
It's what they're, it's exactly what they're saying they experienced. But think about this. I mean, blind people, and not a few, a lot, saying that they see and then describing the same things. Brad was an eight-year-old kid living in the Boston Center for the Blind. And he says almost the same exact thing. And in fact, he talks about going up this beautiful meadow, palm trees and light coming out of everything. And the light was palpable, he said. And he describes coming up to this wall. Now, I don't think he even knows what it is because he never mentions. But I correlate the wall that he's talking about, that he said was shining with its own particular light, and it looked like gemstones. And I show how a TWA airline pilot is talking about the same wall flying into this city of God that John describes in Revelation 21. And I used to read that Revelation 21, and it kind of sounded, you know, like pearly gates and streets of gold. And it just sounded like a bad televangelist set to me.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? This is like, ooh, it just, you know, it sounds like you're trying too hard.
Yeah.
But here's what I've since realized is John was trying to describe something that is otherworldly. But as you mentioned, they're all trying to use terms that are three-dimensional, and it just doesn't quite cut it. And so I correlate how what John is describing, the wall and the gate, it's not a gate. It's a pearlescent kind of material that's an otherworldly substance. And this doctor, spine surgeon, and this TWA airline pilot, and this blind eight-year-old kid are describing the same wall and the same gate into the city that they're going into. It's fascinating. I mean, it's just, it blows your mind. You're like, oh my gosh, what would, because you have to sit there and go, all right, these are credible, and I've interviewed these people personally. I know them.
Yeah, they're credible individuals.
These are credible people who have nothing to gain. I mean, you know, most of them are millionaires. They don't need to go write fantastic books about heaven. It's gonna mar their profession because they're, you know, other doctors are gonna be like, you're crazy, right? And yet they're all saying the same thing from different angles.
Yeah.
And really is. It's like you know, if you had a car accident and you got different people on different corners, they would be telling what they saw and heard. And after you heard all of them, you'd start to piece it together and see a three-dimensional, you know, representation. And that's really what I'm trying to do in Imagine Heaven, is show that picture that I've been able to see, you know, or imagine because of these testimonies.
This is proving credibility. John, long ago when I wrote my book, I was so afraid what people would think of me. But when I started gathering stories from professional people or those with scientific or medical backgrounds, it made my research more credible. I'm hearing something similar in your story in relation to the Bible. I've honestly held back and not told people who are heavily religious what I'm up to. And I've even gotten some angry emails from people telling me that researching the afterlife is against the Bible.
And I deal with that. You got to remember something. The religious crucified Jesus.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Yeah. You got to remember this. So here's the thing, is that don't. And you know, this was something I had to work through, and it's part of why we started Gateway Church, you know, to be a come as you are place where, you know, we say no perfect people allowed and doubters are welcome. And the reason is because so many people have gotten such a negative view of the God of the Bible and have not really taken the time to dive in and read the New Testament for themselves, read the prophets for themselves, because of Christians who quite honestly many times are not following Jesus at all.
Right.
And you do have to remember that, yes, religion, but not just religion, anything we are addicted to playing God. I believe this is really, you know, AA talks about addictions,
right,
and how really the number one sin is that we play God. And then we try to get everyone and everything to do our will.
What do you mean by playing God?
Well, just that. All of us are, we spend most of our time, if we're honest, getting up saying, how can I have my will be done today?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And how can I get you to obey my will and even God? And by the way, if God doesn't do things the way I expect, I'm going to get mad at him.
It's all about me. Attitude.
It is. And you know, that's what Jesus was showing us, is he came to live as a human to show us the love of God and show us a human who had wonderful boundaries. He was not a pushover. But he could choose to love and serve others, even to the point of laying down his life. Mm-hmm. And he showed us an other-centered love. You know, he didn't do miraculous things to prove himself to others. He did them to show the love and the mercy of God in a broken, hurting world that turns away from God and more often goes our way than God's way. But he, you know, the claims of Jesus is that he came to pay for all our wrongs and all our debts. And this is the great liberating truth, you know, that I'm so passionate about, is that we don't need to fear death and we don't need to fear God. And what causes us to is that deep down, we all know we screw up, you know?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
I've got a long, long list, you know, and I don't even know what God knows. Right. But God created us for love. He created us for a relationship. And that actually is what makes sense. I do a whole chapter on no more pain or sorrow or suffering. And that the only thing I can find that makes sense of all the pain and the sorrow and the suffering of this earth is if the main point is that we were created to love God. And the reason is because love can't be forced. It can't be coerced.
Nope.
You know, you can't put a gun to someone's head and make them love you. You can make them parrot the words, I love you, you know, but that's not real love, and we all know it. And God can't force our love either. So God has created people that can truly choose to reject him and go our own way. And I think it plays itself out, and we see, you know, not God's will be done, but my will be done, which is why Jesus taught us to pray the opposite, right? Your will be done. And it was his last prayer, not my will. His will is, I don't want to suffer. I mean, as a human, he didn't want to go through that suffering of the cross, but he said, but not my will, your will be done. And for the sake of others, he did that. So I think the liberating message of the Bible is that God is for us. He's not against us. And so many people think he's against us. He's the one who created you. He is crazy about you. This is the other thing that I feel like.
I love that. He's crazy about me.
No, he is.
Yeah, I like that. Everybody take that in who's listening. God's
and
crazy
God is a very emotional God. You know, one of the things that in chapters 9 through 12, I write about, you know, who is this brilliant being, this brilliant God of light that people see all over the globe? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, that the thing that's crazy is, I mean, in cultures all over the globe, when people die, many of them experience the presence of this brilliant man of light who is brighter than the sun, who is love unconditional, knows our every thought, every deed, everything. And yet in his presence, they feel more alive than they've ever felt. They never want to leave his presence. And they're describing the one who, Jesus, who said, I am the light of the world. The same one that Daniel, the Old Testament prophet, saw by the Tigris River, who said his face flashed like lightning. You know, it was like bright as lightning. Paul, as I said, was persecuting Christians, and he has this experience on the Damascus Road where this brilliant man of light says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus. And the one you were persecuting. And, you know, Paul goes on, like I said, to start all these churches. John in the book of Revelation talks about his eyes are like, he describes them like fire. But near-death experiencers have described looking into his eyes And it's like all the colors at once, but that just draw you in, and they feel like they know everything in an instant looking into his eyes.
We're going to take one more break, and then we'll be back with Pastor John Burke. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Shades of the Afterlife coming right up.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
There are choices that can change your life.
Like the choice to start routine colorectal cancer screening at age 45.
It's one of the most common cancers for women and men, and it doesn't always have symptoms.
But there's good news. Routine screening can catch colorectal cancer early and even prevent it.
And there's even better news. You have screening options.
Make the choice to put your health first. Talk to your doctor about your screening options or visit cdc.gov/screenforlife for more information.
Hey, the Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel is waiting for you now.
Go to coasttocoastam.com for more information.
You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain on the new iHeartMedia and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Don't forget, you can listen to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we are with Pastor John Burke, and he's talking about how so many people who have near-death experiences see the same face of God.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that, I mean, you know, children, airline pilots, people in the Middle East, people in India, they're seeing the same God. He's not impersonal. He is this brilliant being of light. And actually, they'll say not male or female, just God. But at the same time, people who know Jesus seem to know he's Jesus. And in his presence, they feel so known, so loved, never want to leave his presence. And another commonality is he gives them a life review. So they get to relive their lives like in a three-dimensional panoramic replay.
Right.
And again, time doesn't work the same way. So it's, they don't know if it's an instant or they relive the whole, all the years, but it's like that. And what's fascinating, again, is that people come back and what they experienced. Well, let me read you. Some of the things that they say. Can I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so this one woman said, I went through this dark black vacuum at super speed. You could compare it to a tunnel. I saw a bright light, and on my way there, I heard beautiful music and saw colors that I'd never seen before. Oh, the music is another one we got to talk about. That,
okay.
That blows your mind. She said, She comes into the presence of, she says, it was the pinnacle of everything there is, of energy, of love especially, but of warmth, of beauty. I was immersed in this feeling of total love. From the moment the light spoke to me, I felt really good, secure, and loved. The love which came from it was unimaginable, indescribable, and it was a fun person to be with. It definitely had a sense of humor. I never wanted to leave the presence of this being. My whole life so far appeared to be placed before me kind of like a panoramic three-dimensional review, and each event seemed to be accompanied by an awareness of good and evil or by an insight into its cause and effect. Throughout, I not only saw everything from my own point of view, but I knew the thoughts of everybody who I'd been involved with in these events, and throughout, the review stressed the importance of love. Now, this is amazingly common. Mm-hmm. That people experience this life review in the presence of this God of light and love. And again, you know, Jesus said God is love. I mean, it's who he is. And it's what Jesus came to show us, that love lays down his life for us. There's nothing he wouldn't do for us. And in the presence of this God of love, they re-experience all their interactions with people. And what they all come back realizing is that love is the point of it all. And they experience their little acts of kindness, but they also experience their unkind acts, and they experience how it affected the people around them and the ripple effect that it has through humanity.
That's incredible.
And it's profound. Mm-hmm. And it profoundly changes the way people live. And I got to tell you, it's profoundly changed the way I live. I mean, a big part of why I was willing to leave engineering and, you know, take a third of my salary to try to, minister to people who were doubters and skeptics and addicts and, feeling the hurts and the wounds of life is because it changed what life is about to me. There was another a pastor that I quote in Imagine Heaven. And it was a good reminder for me too, because, you know, I lead a large church, thousands of people, and he did too. And, you know, in everything in life, it's so easy to get lost. You know, I mean, hey, I'm far from perfect, you know, and even knowing all this and studying all this, it's like, it's just so easy to get bruised and beat up and lost in life. And, I read this guy's, story. What happened is, he's leading this big church, doing lots of good stuff. But he actually dies on the operating table. Mm-hmm. And he said that he rose above his body and he's watching the operation, and God is there with him, this brilliant being of light. And he says, God gave me a number of life-altering, unforgettable messages that I'll take to my grave. Some I can share, some are more personal. We did not communicate just with words, but also with memories and images. Oh, by the way, that's another one. The communication of heaven is perfect. It's thought to thought. It's complete. And it's feelings, it's memories, it's images, it's everything.
Great.
He says, God let me know just how much he valued me. It's almost impossible to describe the perfect sense of acceptance that surrounded me. Yet even in the midst of this very personal embrace, part of me knew that not everything in my life had matched what God had intended for me. Despite my list of fiascos, God extended his total acceptance and absolute love to me and showed me how he's going to give me another chance. I got the sense that God was going to give me an opportunity to let go of the things that had become idols in my life and allow me to begin to embrace people instead. I was to become the husband and father I was supposed to be. Right there in the ICU ward, I realized I didn't even know the names of any of my children's friends. Here's what he said, God asked me, what are the names of your children's best friends? And he said he was sitting there watching his operation, listening to this, and just stuck. Like, and he said, you know, my children's friends had been over all the time, but I'm a busy, important pastor. I was nice to them. But he didn't really know
their names.
But he didn't even know their names. And God, the God he worshiped and was leading others to worship and follow, asked him that simple question. You know? And this is the thing that's really changed me. you know, we all want to change the world in our own way. We want to matter.
Yes.
We want our lives to matter. Jesus said, if we will love God and love your neighbor as much as you do yourself, then you fulfill the essence of your purpose. You know, I think that also includes using our gifts to serve humanity, to do good for humanity. But you know, what you start to realize, and there's another guy, Howard Storm, who he was actually an atheist professor who had a life review. And he talks about how Jesus basically shows him this plan of how you love the people around you and it'll change the world. And he said, I was kind of questioning Jesus about it. Like, oh, come on, that's not going to work. and what he realized was it's the ripple effect of humanity. God doesn't need us to change the world. He needs us to love the people around us. And when we all do that, that does change the world.
I heard somebody say once that you can't be experiencing love and fear at the same time. So we can always find a way to experience love. John, I have a question. I got a tough email not too long ago from a woman whose two children and husband were killed in a car accident. And she said, if heaven is so great, why can't I go there now and be with my family? I truly believe our lives here are for a purpose, but can you just speak to that?
Yeah, and let me just say too, we are not to take our own lives. That is absolutely, and you know, people who have had near-death experiences and came back realize that was the biggest mistake they could have possibly made. Because again, that's the ultimate act of playing God rather than trusting God. Of saying, I can determine when a life has purpose or not, even if it's my own, you know? And part of learning to love God and others is we got to love ourselves. We've got to realize that God loves us, so we are of value. We are of worth to Him, and we have purpose. He created us, and He created us for a purpose. Now, I found it interesting to realize that though everybody who had this life review knew and saw very clearly that truth, that they have a purpose, that God has a purpose. And so many times God would say to people, your purpose is not complete yet. You got to go back. And yet they still struggled with it. And I don't know. Personally, I find that encouraging.
Yes.
that it's not like, oh, I get it. You know, there's no struggle. And it's just like all obvious. No. No, there is a struggle still of just realizing, okay, how do I just walk day by day, being faithful with the gifts I've given to love and serve God and the people He's put around me.
Right.
You know, or, you know, if you're a doctor, how to use my gifts, you know, not just to serve myself, but to really heal people and care about the patients. Mm-hmm. You know, that was what Howard Storm learned, you know, that he was obsessed with being a great professor and artist, but Jesus was concerned with how he treated his students. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, keeping that in mind, the other thing that's so incredibly encouraging about that, we can all succeed. You know, look, most of us will not succeed by the world's definition. Like, most of us are not going to be super, super wealthy or super famous or celebrities or well known.
Perfect fitness, right?
Perfect figure. It's not going to happen.
No.
But when you realize is that we can all succeed, not compared to each other, but compared to the unique path God has laid out for us.
Thank you, John Burke. So, how are you feeling? A little more comfortable that it's okay to be religious and explore topics on the afterlife? I hope so. You know, it's funny. Many of us walk around believing that people would think we were crazy if they knew we were interested in the afterlife. What's funny about that is most of the people we see walking around also think you would think them crazy. So, how do you open up with someone and see if they're interested? Just drop a hint. Ask something like, have you heard of stories of people that have had near-death experiences? What do you think about that? Or have you heard that new show on iHeartRadio called Shades of the Afterlife? Shameless plug. Either people will pick up on the hint and engage you in conversation, or they won't. I'll bet you'll be surprised that more people are interested than aren't. Don't forget, you can pick up a free PDF copy of my book, We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death, and an audio called How to Survive Grief at my website, sandrachamplain.com. Thank you for listening. We were talking to Pastor John Burke, the author of Imagine Heaven. I'm Sandra Champlain, and you've been listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
You've been listening to Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain. For shows like this and others, please make sure to tune into the new iHeartMedia and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows. Like us on Facebook, tell your friends, and share us with everyone.